God bless you. Thank you very much for making it. I know it's really cold out there. As you have come to the presence of God, the Lord will honor you. I pray that the Lord that you have come to worship, to learn more of, he will reveal himself to you and I in the name of Jesus. I pray that you will not be disappointed. I pray every aspect of your life, the Lord shall continue to strengthen and support in the name of Jesus. The Lord will give you understanding of his word in the name of Jesus. Every time you call, I pray that the Lord will answer. Father, as we have come to study, open our hearts and our mind. We don't claim to know anything. Bible says we should study among ourselves. Lord, we have come tonight. Speak to us. Have your way. Open our minds. Open our hearts. So that we can understand the truth of your word. Lord, we honor you. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much. I hope your week has been blessed. The Lord will continue to strengthen you. In the series we have been studying the last few months, the section we have tonight is asking us to study the journey to heaven. Is it going to be an easy ride or a difficult journey? I will try to make sure we'll quickly go through as much, but I guess my spirit is encouraging me or challenging me to just go through a case study, for example, so that we can relate our lives and the journey we are going through with this. So tonight, what I want us to discuss is a life of a person in the scriptures. And we want to look at how many times our lives, there are different aspects that we have to pay attention to while we're on the journey. What is this journey? It's a journey of our life. And what are the things we will find on the journey? What are the things we need to do as we're going on the journey? What are the obstacles we are going to face as we are going on this journey? What are the conditions we will have to stick ourselves with and say, you know, no matter what happens, this thing I will do or these things I will not do? What are the things we must believe so that we can end up where we want to end up? What are the things we need to make resolution about? What are the things we need to prepare for the journey? What are the things we need to observe along the journey? What are the things we need to pray for along the journey? What are the things we need to act upon as we are on that journey? And on the journey, what are the things we have to give? And what are the things we will have to receive? And what are the things we'll have to, in the end, give thanks for when we get there? My question to us this morning is, what journey are we running? And I'm going to try to break into so many aspects of it so that we can sometimes talk about it together. This is a question. When will your journey end? I'm asking myself that question. When will this journey that I am running, when will it end? For most of us that are alive, we don't know when this journey will end. And it is always fearful to think about the end of this journey. Sir, when will this your journey end? Do you know? Not really. Ma, do you know when this journey will end? No. Sir, do you know when this journey will end? I will tell you. My journey will end one day, and I won't be able to go to church. Because I will not be here anyways. I won't have to worry about my job or anything. In fact, I won't have to worry or think about my children because my journey has ended. I won't have to think about what other people will think about me because my journey has ended. So what I want us to think about is this journey, how are we going to walk it? There are so many examples of stories in the Bible that we can pick and use it as our case study. Jesus' journey of life was busy. He had so many things, but then he was very focused. Along the journey, he ran to all kinds of obstacles. Sometimes he was stressed out. Sometimes he was angry. Sometimes he ran into all kinds of people and situations. Sometimes he would do things by himself. Sometimes he would have to do it with other people. The journey was tough. In fact, it got to a time along the journey that he had to beg three people, Peter, James, and John, please pray along with me because as part of the journey tomorrow, it's going to be very painful for me. Pray, perhaps, that God can do or help or strengthen or whatever the prayer point was. But he knew he had to go on the journey. We have to go through some path in life. How can we make this journey spiritual? And what are we supposed to do? I have to say very clearly, if we don't understand when the journey will end, we are never, ever going to prepare properly. We will never, ever prepare. So how much of preparation do we need? What are the obstacles we will face on this journey? I pray the Lord will help us. Please, you can help me. Okay, you can help me turn off all the other microphones, sir. You can help me turn off all the other microphones. All of them except this one. Amen. Okay, thank you. So I'm going to use a short story. Genesis chapter 24 is the story I want to use. And I want to bring up a couple of things. Abraham was very old. I'm reading from verse 1. And he knew that his own journey was coming to an end. And he wanted to help his son to start a journey. But then, just for that, he had to send a man, one of the lead, or I would say the head of all the trusted servants in his house, to go and get a wife for his son. So, first thing, he asked the man, "Swear to me by God that you will do what I ask you to do. I pray you hold my leg. Swear by the Lord God of heaven, the God of the earth, that you shall not take a wife unto my son of the daughter of Canaanites among whom thou dwell." He's trying to set up a journey for this man. Number one, will this man succeed or not? Does this man know how difficult the journey will be or not? When will he get there? But let us look through, because that's the story of our life. I want us to begin to think about my life. How did I start? Most of us don't know how we started because we were born. And let's quickly look at a couple of things before we think about the journey. The things you did not plan while you were created. Number one, where you were born, which family you were born into, the color of your skin, your DNA, all the things is part of your body, some circumstances that your life will fall in. You didn't arrange them yourself. So those things you cannot complain. In fact, one man asked, if you had a chance before you were born to select where you will be born, who will be your parent, and where will you pick? Will you pick a different parent? So let me do this experiment. If you had a chance before you were born to talk to God, and God says, well, yeah, there are 6 billion people in the world. Pick any parent you like. Which one? Will you pick some other people than your parent? Okay. So how will you gauge the kind of parent you will pick? Okay. So you want to select the best parent that are living in the great town. Okay. And then, what else? So let's say you pick London. You're going to pick some parents in London. So what else will you pick? Rich parent? Will you be black, white, or white, not black? Okay. That's a good idea. So far. Okay. What else? Okay, you've picked a lot of things, right? Okay. The only thing, the condition there is, you will not be able to tell whether you will be healthy or sick. Even though you've picked all the good spots. You will not be able to tell whether you're going to have all kinds of health condition or great health. You won't be able to tell whether you'll be able to be very smart or not very smart. The only thing you have been able to pick is just those ones. So how do you think the life will turn out, the journey of life will turn out? Even if you are born to the richest parent, you have everything you have, but perhaps you are born without eyes that is walking, or the legs that are walking. So how will the journey be now that you are able to select? Would that still be a fantastic journey? How will life be? What will life look like? Will it look great? As long as the parents have money? Okay. And that is a good idea. It looks great. So now, let's look at it, because where we're going is, life will be great when we have all the provision. For a Christian, what is it that do we choose the conditions that we will, our spiritual life, the way it's going to be before we became Christian? It may look like a very funny question, but do we get to choose? Or things will start happening. Did Jesus get to choose? Okay, let's run through this story, and then we may be able to come up with some ideas. Maybe that will help us to come up with ideas. So the man said in verse 4, you will go to my father's house, the country that I came from, and take a wife to my son Isaac. Verse 5. Now all of us begin to link at some feet. And the servant said unto him, wait. What if the woman will not be willing to follow me? 24. I'm reading verse 5. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me to come to this country. Do I need to bring your son again to the land where you came from? Why is this important? If you are going to start a journey, you have to make up your mind, what is the condition that will determine my success? If we want to walk with God, we have to really think carefully according to the scriptures in the New Testament that says, if you're going to start building, check whether you have enough money, enough resources, enough rocks, enough sand, enough materials to build, and then start. Because if you start building and you get to a point, you see you cannot. it will be shameful because people will start saying, see, he started and he cannot finish. So this man is saying, okay, so I want to be very clear on this journey that I'm going. If I get there, if I find someone and someone says, I'm not going to that country, okay, do you want me to take your son to go there? Okay. So that is the first thing. We must understand the conditions of our life. What are the conditions for our spiritual journey? Many people, when they are Christians, they become Christian, they've given their life to Christ, but they have no conditions. Anything goes. They won't say, what is it that will make me to backslide? What is it that will make me not to continue to work as Christian? What is it? At what point? What will be that situation that will take me back to where I came from? And then Abraham said unto him, beware. In fact, he says, I want you to carefully observe this thing. Beware of this thing. Thou shalt not bring my son here again. If you find a woman that is correct, that is exactly matching what we are believing God for, and you think that this is the right person, but the woman says, no, I cannot come. He says, you shall not ever bring my son to that place. So this journey now is becoming very clear. The reason why this journey will become clearer is I know how and when I will be able to say, this is going right or this is not going right. For most of us, we don't have very good conditions. When will you bail out of this journey? Because many people want to say they know what the journey will look like. Oh, journey of Christianity is easy or is simple or is... Anyone that is saying all those things, they're just trying to comfort themselves, to make themselves feel happy. This man is asking very hard question. We need to ask ourselves question. Now that I'm a Christian, under what condition will I give up? Will I stop when something happens? Will I give up under this condition? And we must be very clear of the answer. The man said, don't ever take my son there again. Okay. So he said in verse 7. So the fact that the man already thinking, what if I cannot make it? Think about it. What if the life of Christianity we are living is not, we can't really live the up to standard of the word of God. We are failing. Every time we fail the word of God, we continuously fail the word of God. We want to be a Christian, we backslide. We want to be a Christian, we backslide. We try to be a Christian, something else will happen. We throw us under the bus and this will happen and that will happen. See, when we think about that, it looks like, we may not make it. But then, Abraham says something. Said, even though you are asking whether the lady will come or not, but I want to pray. It says, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my people, which spoke to me, that swear unto me, said unto your seed, I will give this land. Now listen to this. He shall send his angel before you, and you shall take your wife to my son from there. Faith. Even though when we are confronted with, what if, we must have faith that God can take us through the journey. Because the way this man, the servant is asking, is like saying, sir, what if all the things that I'm expecting? So when you give your life to Christ and you believe that your life will be better, you believe that things will happen, you believe that heaven will always support your project, you believe that things will change. Say, if all those things, you say, can I come back? Should I just go back to the world? He said, I don't want to go back to the world, but I want you to have faith that you're going to get what you have, believing God for. Abraham just has faith. If we don't have faith as we journey in life, a lot of things will happen to us. We are going to be overcome with doubt. If we start this church and we don't have faith right now that all these empty chairs someday, by the grace of God, will be filled up during weekly service, we're going to definitely, before you know it, pack up this place and go somewhere else or start doing something else. If you don't have faith in a business you are starting and you have put a lot of money into it, before you know it, you'll pack it up and say, this business is not working. Because you say, what if I spend $500 on that business and you're starting with all those and you have no faith in God that has helped me, that has called me, that has sworn unto me, that has done this for me before. I know he will send his angels and he will help me out. The journey we are embarking on is a long journey. We need God. We need faith. Now, the man again said, I've heard you, sir. Verse 8. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then you shall be clear from this oath. Here is this. If the journey of faith that we are on, it's not helping us. If we see all the people that are taking bribes, all the people that are, you know, cutting corners, all the people that are doing anything anyhow, they're living better life than us. They are all cool and nice. So what is the condition that we should bail out and not be a Christian? And there's an answer in the scriptures. Apostle Paul, he tried to answer this question. He said, if all that we are doing here on earth is just so that we can get some reward here on earth, or so that we can be happy here alone, say we are just wasting our time. I want us to be encouraged tonight to see that our journey, even though we are walking through the earth, we are going home. So the servant swore to the master Abraham, and then something interesting happens. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. If we don't act in our lives, we are never going to make it to the end of our journey. We have to take actions. We have to take actions. We have to take actions. In a spiritual journey, there is always something you need to do next. Are we taking actions? Many Christians are in cruise control. The first faith you had when you became a Christian is the same faith that you are still holding on to. The first scripture, the way you read it when you became Christian, the same scripture you are still holding on to. You have not read more to understand more about the Word of God. So this man packed enough camels. What will he need camels for? For journey, of course, to ride on. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. So he arose and went to the country. He took on the journey. I want us to remember this quickly, that as we are going to journey in this life, there will be all kinds of frustration, spiritually. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the evening, and even the time that women go out to draw water. Please, here is one spiritual principle. You have to pay attention. If we don't pay attention in life, you can continue on this journey and you will miss everything. And later you're going to complain that you didn't see anything. If we don't pay attention to every detail as much as possible, you will go through a lot of places and they will tell you, did you see McDonald's? You say, I've never seen any place to eat. Meanwhile, you've passed 12 of them. This man, when he got to the place, he went and he went to the right place so that because he has observed, oh, women come to this place to fetch water. He did not go to the bear parlor. He did not go to men's conference center because that would be useless. So what is the lesson for us here? If we spiritually cannot observe to see where we should apply and receive the things that we need for our journey, we will just completely be disappointed every time. Every time we'll be disappointed. So this man went to where women go to draw water because he was looking for a woman to take back to his master. Okay. What is it that where do we go when we need to draw something spiritual from God? Where do we get it from? And I want us to be very clear here. And I pray God will help us. When we need something from God, we constantly look around for some answers that are not, or we look in the wrong place. This man on a journey knew, oh, I'm looking for a woman, so it must be where women go. If we know that where are the things that the promises of God are for us, we don't look in the right place, like in the scriptures or in the place of meditation to know what next to do, whatever. We are always looking around, oh, what is Brother A doing? What is Brother B doing? What is Sister Q doing? How can I do? I have prayed to God, my Christianity shall not be just a pattern of a church or pattern of a ministry. If my Christianity is a redeemed type of Christianity, I've already missed my pattern. I've already missed my discovery. If my Christianity is kind of Catholic Christianity, that's a useless, you know, Christianity. That means it's not unique. That means I don't understand my journey. That means I'm just trying to, you know, somebody asked me one question. He said, you don't sound like a redeemed person. I said, why should I sound like a redeemed person? Is that a real thing? Do I have to sound like a redeemed person? He said, you're sometimes, we don't know whether you are really redeemed or you are not redeemed. I said, you don't need to know. But that's a great idea that you don't know. Because my journey is a very specific journey. My journey is a very unique journey. If we don't look in the right place, you will be so surprised. You will have gone past and you'll be saying, God, where is it that, what is it that you're asking me to get? Meanwhile, you've passed 12 times what God is asking us to do. This journey we are running in life, it's a very, very interesting journey. And I need to say also, this journey is time bound. Everything you miss, you have to pray to God to help you recover it. And I'm very serious about this. Everything you miss, you have to trust God enough for you to catch up. If you don't trust God to catch up, it will be a struggle. It takes God to catch up. Some things you may have to wait for it because you've not reached where they are. That's understandable. But the things that you miss just because you are not paying spiritual attention, they're gone. There are some examples in the Bible that we can find. Let me quickly move on because of our time. This, and this, he said, O Lord, my God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show me kindness unto my master Abraham. When we are on this journey, you have to continuously ask God for help. Because you pray last year, or pray on the 31st, or pray on whatever, it's a great understanding that yes, you've prayed, and I trust God. Some prayers I have prayed before even will work for me in the next 2 years. But the problem is, the prayers I refuse to pray now, then when in the future I get there, what's going to work for me? You stop praying now, then the future is becoming. This man started praying along his journey. Lord, I've come here now. I know women come around here to fetch water. We're reading Genesis 24. I know women will come around here, verse 11. Please, verse 12, God, give me good speed. Let me be able to identify somebody that will match the requirement of my master. Lord, I've come here. Sometimes when we get to a very good opportunity in our spiritual life, at that point, we just think we're going to do many, many, many more. Instead of right there, pray. So that you won't pick anything. Many Christians, they just do blindfolded thing. Now that we have seen a lot of things, let's just pick this one. Life, the journey we are running, it is a deliberate journey. I pray you will not run someone else's journey in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine if this life was a boat that is on the river? And the goal of this boat is to find a destination, a land somewhere. What are you going to do when you're in the boat? Many people will sit down in the boat and wish that the boat will get there. Of course, the wind will blow. Sometimes the wind will not blow and they will say, oh God, this boat is not working. Of course, the boat is working. Because what the boat is meant for is to hold you enough, but you have to row the boat. Sometimes the wind will be contrary to the direction where you are going. Of course, who made the wind? God. Will the wind not blow you contrary to where you should go? Yes, it will blow. What is the responsibility of the person that is going on the journey? For you to row against the wind. Why did they make sail on the boat? They made sail so that you can at least take advantage of the wind. Every time the wind is blowing this way and you want to go against the wind, you have to use the sail in a way so that it will turn around things for you. If we don't understand that in a spiritual journey, we will always find someone to blame. Oh, it is the wind. Oh, in fact, if for some reason you have someone else in the boat with you, you will blame the person. You will always find a reason to blame the person. The journey I am going, I have made up my mind. I will never, ever blame God for anything that happens to me. Number one. Number two, I will never, ever blame someone else for everything and everything that happens to me. Of course, yes, someone can even block me. Many people have blocked me from primary school to high school to whatever. People have taken and snatched opportunity from me. But you know what? It is a journey. In fact, I had a very unique experience when I was very young. I was in elementary school. And that time, for you to move from one school to another school that is not in your region, you have to go to local education authority to approve your transfer. There was this great school, and my parents agreed that I should transfer to that school. I think I was in primary six or something. I don't know what grade that is now. Sixth grade. And do you know, everything worked perfectly. Everything worked perfectly. The school I was going to, since it was going to be high school, already accepted that, oh, yeah, as long as you can get a sign-off from the local education authority man or the whatever, we are going to. And, you know, the day I went there, that was one of the first few days of my life that I've ever fasted from morning till evening. I was very young. I was like 10, 11 years old. I fasted. So it was around for the whole day I fasted, and eventually I was staying outside the school because it was another town entirely. My family went, but someone drove me there, you know. I was thinking in my heart, yes, this is it. I saw some new students that were coming because it was a school that everybody wanted to go. In fact, they brought the daughter of the governor to that school. You see everybody following her, carrying her, doing everything. I was sitting outside where they were still processing my paper. Within 2 minutes, she came in with all the people. They processed her paper. They took her to the room, our own hostel. I was saying, God, this must happen. It was too late by 6 o'clock. They said, we have to come back the second day. The person that took me there, please listen to this. And God will help us in this journey we learn. The person that took me to that school was the ex-principal of the school. He retired in that school. So because of that, in my mind, there's no way they will not consider my application, number one. Because this man just retired. If I had gone 2 years before, he would have just signed my paper and said, I want him to be in my school. Because it's one of the greatest schools in the entire region. Second day, I've continued fasting. And then I had to go. So they cleared all my papers in the school. They just said, if you bring this other thing, that's it. So this ex-principal that was the greatest man there went to the local education, LIE, I think that's what they call it. I can't remember. He went there, and I was standing outside. He went in there. And they were talking. Of course, I didn't hear everything they were saying. And one man came out. I can never forget this face in my life. Very light-skinned man. Was wearing brown khaki. You know, they used to wear these short shirts with normal pants. And it's, I can never forget, brown shoe. Everything was, it came out. And it was like, you, yes. So what is it? You want to move to that school? No, it's not happening. Where is his paper? And he looked into it in there and just signed something. It looked like the ground was going to sink. I did not even realize what he was saying because my brain froze. And then the ex-principal came out and then said, oh, and that ex-principal was only driving, that time was driving, you know, B2, you know, the Volkswagen, the old type. So he said, don't worry, my son, get at the back, because I was in the back of, you know, the one you have to open the seat, you climb into the back. Remember, I had only eaten, like, I had only light stuff the last night because I fasted. That was the first time I had to fast all through. And then today, now, in the afternoon, everything was, so when I got back, and we had to travel back to my town because it was a different town we went to. Right inside, while we were going, my mind was going, how in the world can everything look almost perfect, but yet one man will have the power to cancel my application? You cannot believe it. I thought this man was the only obstacle to my becoming the greatest person in the world for a moment. And at that time, you know, I said I was still very young. From that time on was when actually God started helping me to understand who God was. You know, and then after a while, I think a day or two, when I got home, I couldn't face anything. I was disappointed. My life was looking. Somehow God told me, don't worry, I'll take you somewhere. I'll take you somewhere. If we don't understand the spiritual journey, you're going to blame everybody. The end of that story, I can only tell you, it was several years later. I graduated from college. I was sent to another state to go. You know, we do this 1 year after you leave college. You go and walk in a different state and do that. I think I've given this testimony before. Among almost like 150 people, we were in a big auditorium. One man, this time around, a black man, using glasses, I think he had some problem with his eyes, walked in into the auditorium. Everybody was quiet because everybody has been calling, phone, looking for who they knew. I didn't know anybody. This was a federal government establishment. One man walked in into the room, looked around, as if he was looking for somebody. Of course, I didn't even know the process. He said, you, come. Of course, I was thinking it was somebody else that he knew. He said, no, you, come down right there, follow me. Everybody was murmuring. I didn't know. I said, okay, I don't know what this man will do. If they ask me to go home, I'll go home. I didn't know anybody here, so I don't worry too much about it. Put me in his office. What's your name again? I told him my name. Where are you from? I told him, oh, you people from this part of the country. I said, I'm sorry. He said, well, you don't have to be sorry. You know what? I like you, and you will be my candidate. Of all the people, you're the first person I'll be picking, and you'll be working with me in my office. And now you're staying. We're going to get you everything. By the way, let me take your name by myself to the group managing director, so that they can put you, you'll be the first person they're picking out of all the people. I did not know what was going on. You know, like 15 years back, the same way my leg was shaking and my eyes was almost collapsing, was the same way my brain froze, because I could not understand, why will I be picked out of all these people? That's not the end of the story. What we're talking about is spiritual journey. This man went upstairs to the group managing director because this was a group of companies. And then he came back hurriedly. And he said, tell me your name again. I told him that. He said, something is wrong with you. I said, sir, what is it? He said, somehow the group managing director has requested that for some reason they should pick only you to be in his office and not in the man's office. I said, I do not know group managing director. I have nobody in this time. In fact, sir, I want to ask you, where can I sleep tonight? because I'd never been in that town. I was not supposed to be in that town. In fact, the reason why I got to that town was because I volunteered to go for a mission. The mission person that was supposed to come and carry us failed to show up. So they decided, where else can we just follow these other people? That was how I randomly ended in that place. So I looked at it and said, if I had blamed God for not giving me the opportunity to go to that wonderful, great school that I thought that was the best, can I blame God for giving me that opportunity to be selected among every person? In fact, you cannot believe this. People that came to see my office, the person that was there before chose to say, please, you sit down in this office with all these things, and I will work for you. I was afraid. I thought there must be something on the chair. The man that did not, as in the whole world turned upside down for me for a period of time, I was afraid that there must be trapped somewhere. This is not exactly the way it should be. Why am I saying all this? The journey of life, sometimes the wind will blow you so hard that you will think that you will not make it to tomorrow. In fact, you will be so disappointed. I thought that my heart was crushed, that God should have done something. At least God should have seen that I was too young and I was fasting and I was trusting him, that he should have done something about my situation. In fact, I was asking God, is it because people are rich that you get them to the places? Because when they brought the daughter of the governor, it was like 2 minutes. I sat there, fasted. Okay, second day, and one man, I can never forget his face, just said no. But then, one man, again, select and picked my name and put my name in whatever and changed my life. If we don't understand the journey, we're going to blame God. But then, if we understand the journey, we're going to say, God, I trust you. We're going to go through turbulent phases. Jesus explained that to us. So this man, he prayed to God and thanked God and said, please, I'm here now. Do something about this situation. Even though it appears that he had the answer, but it's not very clear. So a woman came, gave drink, but he now prayed a very specific prayer. In spiritual journey, you can pray general prayer sometimes. Verse 14, it will get to a time you have to pray very specific prayer. Lord, please, show me what I will do in this specific situation. So the woman showed kindness, verse 15. It came to pass that for some strange reason, the woman that was in contact with this man was of the same family. Verse 16, the same specification. The person has never been married before. Nobody was staying with her, and she was a nice lady. She ran home, explained the old story to the parent, and then brought the man to the house. Here is what I want us to also understand something. Verse 21. The man, wondering at her, held his peace, thinking, is this God making my journey to be successful or not? If we don't pay attention sometimes, we will miss all those milestones in our spiritual journey. You will just think you're cruising, you're growing great, or things are looking great. No. He paid attention to it and said, God, is this you or not? It looks like everything is working. Sometimes we always get to the cruise control mode where everything is working. You don't have to press the gas. Car will become going. But you get to a point, like every other journey. Like in a car, when you have to ascend the hill, if you leave it in cruise control, you'll be fine, right? Until there will be serious incline. But you know if you want to maintain your tempo, you have to press the gas. Press the gas, accelerate, and you move. When you get to the top of the mountain, then you can go down again. You know you have to apply the brakes. Spiritual journey is like that. Really, why should we do all this and pay attention to all this in our spiritual journey? If we don't, obstacles will kill us.
There are too many obstacles, especially for a believer. Too many obstacles. There will be a time when you have everything. There will be a time when you don't have everything. Those two could be obstacles. The fact that you have everything you need could be an obstacle. You don't really know how to pray anymore because you think, I got everything, or it comes naturally. The time when you don't have everything, you are trusting God and believing God, nothing is happening. You think, oh, this is the end of the world. God is not listening to me. I can't believe this is happening. Oh, God, I'm frustrated. Oh, God, why is my life like this? And you know what? On the journey, as long as you are going, you will see some other people running faster than you. And then you start comparing yourself. No, spiritual journey is a long, steady race. You have to pace yourself out. Sometimes you get to a point that you will be so tired, you just want to rest. And surely sometimes you need to rest. Because sometimes you say, oh no, I just have to go, you will faint. In fact, there are so many spiritual wreckages that we've seen. It's like accident on the road. Think about it. There are sometimes all you need to do is just slow down. Slow down. Just slow down. But, you know, for most of us, because of commitments, maybe in church or in our family or at our workplace, we don't want to slow down. You just want to keep running through, running through. You plow through everything, but then you see that your judgment is no longer consistent. The spiritual journey, you must set all the conditions right. I am not going back, no matter what. Number two, you must be clear what your journey will end with. I have made up my mind. When I appear before God, one thing I want to ask him, among other questions I have, is, God, did I try? That's all. That's all I want to ask God. I'm not going to ask God, oh, did I do well? That's not my point. I'm not worried about that. That's God to judge me. I want to just ask God, did I try? Did I do everything that within my power, did I try? And all I want God to tell me is, oh, you wasted time, or you sometimes forgot to do all these things. But you know what? Yes, you try. Come in. That's all I want. And that's good enough. Because if in the end, I've done all this stuff and I get before God and he said, oh, you did wonderfully when you started, but then you missed it and you never retraced your step and you never came back and you never did all these things. So, yeah, you can get in here. Oh, God, who's going to console such a person? Who's going to help the person with the tears and the pain of all these things? The journey we are going, we have to be prepared for it. You have to pray. And when you get through problems and situations, please, will you be disappointed? Absolutely, yes. The reason why we're going to be disappointed while we're on this journey is just because of the way things are. I don't know if Jesus was ever disappointed, but I believe that he had times when he was worried that other people were just not, yeah. And then ask questions, verse 23, or 22 first. So it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, because this lady volunteered to feed and drink, give drink to this animal, the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. Really, this man was thinking, God, is this the answer to my prayer? I don't know. But you know what? I'm going to give generously. He didn't know whether this was a lady. He was only just believing and trusting God that this was the right one. Or at least this one may lead to where the answer will be. But then he started giving out of the stuff he brought to give to the lady. All right. What is the principle here in the spiritual journey? Please give generously. The Bible said, and I won't spend too much time there, Abraham learned that by giving, you can appeal to God's mighty, mighty mercy. When God has made up his mind to do a thing, who can change him? Who can change the mind of God? I've never seen a man that can tell God or prove to God or make God feel bad, then God will change his mind. Of course, what we say in prayer was not necessarily to change God's mind. We are appealing to the mercy of God. Say, God, please, if you can, please, if you can, please, if you can. Abraham gave and said, please come to my house, let me feed you, let me do everything. When he did that, he was not expecting they were going to give anything. But eventually, he said, please, sir, you say you are going to destroy a place. Is it possible, by any chance, that if you find somebody in that city that I know, that is righteous, that belongs to our tribe, that you will spare the life? They say, oh, well, okay, yes, we will spare. He kept asking. Here, we must give generously in our lives, because you don't know where your seed that you are casting will fall. Many times we only give because we think we can expect something back from it. No, give to people that you don't even know you will get anything back from. Because this spiritual journey, I don't know. We add a tenant in our house when we were growing up. I grew up in a village, and there was this man that was renting one of two rooms. And all I knew that time was he would always come on Friday evening with his briefcase, and he would leave early Monday morning, like 4 a.m. or something like that. Of course, the children were growing up together. The wife was a teacher. But this man was working in a big city somewhere. After a while, we grew up together for, I don't know, 10 years or something. He moved out. Many years later, one day I went with my uncle somewhere. He bought a land and we were looking at it. And we saw this big man, very big man. He just finished his huge house. And he was coming by to just say hi to my uncle that just bought a land where he built his big house. And then this man was looking at me and saying, so what's your name? I told him my name. He said, which city did you grow up in? He said, can you remember me? I said, sorry, sir, I can't remember you. He said, tell your dad you've seen Mr. A. Now I said, see, the man that was renting our two rooms has become a huge, huge man. Made a lot of money, family big. And he remembered that the children used to eat with us, but now they have gone way, way rich. You don't know who you bless on your journey that will bless you back. Even if they don't bless you back, somehow God will send someone else on your way. This spiritual journey is not what we can get. You know, right now, most people, especially in church, I don't even know why that gets in our mind. We only help people that we think will help us. We only like people that we think will like us. People pick their own, these are my people. I don't know. I don't think we're going to the same heaven. I think some people are going to a different kind of heaven. In other words, they think they can pick and choose. I know we have friends in the world based on we like the same thing, we don't like the same thing. But we have to be careful so that we won't be selective when we want to do good things. The Bible says, just give. Jesus gave the parable. God, he says, when I was sick, you never bothered to just come and see me in the hospital. And everybody said, what? You were sick? No, that's not true. We said, when I'm hungry. He said, no, how can you be hungry? We know about it that you're hungry. We won't get you food. He said, when I was in prison, he said, prison? You? If we know about it, we'll get you something. Say, okay, sorry, let me explain to you. If you can't do it to someone that you can see, you can't do it to me. Many times our understanding of this journey is just a different way. I want us to look at it. This spiritual journey, we need to pay attention to all the things. Sometimes we'll think, this is how God will do it, but we just need to pay attention to the right thing. Let me wrap up so that we can go on. So this man eventually went to meet the parent, but then verse 26, and the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Thank God when you get to some good destination along the way, just have to thank God. You have to thank God. John chapter 17 was almost the same thing in the life of Jesus. So Jesus, for so many years, grew up and eventually started a full ministry that was to ransom everyone. John 17 was when he said a kind of this kind of prayer along the journey. He has gone through 3.5 years training people, traveling, healing, restoring. John 17 verse 1, he said, "My Father, I thank you because the hour has come that you will glorify the Son with the same glory I had on the foundation of the world. Please glorify yourself again." And he went on through and through and said, "Father, I wish that I would not leave them, that you would take all these people with me, but that is not what you desire. But I pray that as I go, you keep them in this world, sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is the truth." And he kept praying and praying and praying and praying and thanking God for the ministry and life that God has given him. You will get to some milestones in life. Thank God for those milestones. We are not grateful enough. That I know for sure. We are not grateful enough. You know, sometimes you wish that God should tax us more. God should ask you for everything God gives you. Maybe you should take half. But, you know, God is too generous, too nice. I mean, if I never had opportunity to go to school, so what, will I blame God? If I never had opportunity to have parents that will have home and I will have to struggle, will I blame God? Do I even thank God for that opportunity that I could go to school or I could have a home? I mean, do we thank God enough? If you think deeply, we're really going to thank God more. Let me finish this quickly. Spiritual journey. You thank God, bless God. Remember, that was the fear he had before. This man said to Abraham before he left, "What if I can't find the person?" You know, as I'm going to wrap this up, we always think, what if there is no heaven? What if we backslide? What if all the stress of this world gets to us and, you know, we just miss it? And then Abraham told him, "Don't worry, this God will make something happen." Somehow, Abraham knew for sure. I still have my people there. I know they are not dead all. I want us to have faith on this journey. And the rest is just part of the story. There's so many examples we can use to look at it. To recap, there will be obstacles in this journey. And I don't know what your obstacle will be. Some of these obstacles will be so big. Some people have health issues. Some people have money issues. Some people have psychological issues. Some people have problems you cannot even explain. You need faith. You need to prepare. You need to be thankful. You need to act. You need to observe spiritually. And please don't ever look at someone else's speed on this spiritual journey. Don't ever say, "Oh, we went to the same school. Look at what he's doing right now." If you do that, you're going to kill somebody one day. At the same time, if you look at that, you will see so many people you went to the same school that couldn't make it. When I was in sixth grade, the best student in our class, cannot forget that, is Gegain. One day when we were in class, you know, every morning we would do, teacher would give us this math, you do it, she would grade it, and then whatever. This boy was the best student in our class. Everybody thought he was going to go to great high school, whatever. Just stood up in the class and started messing up with the button of his shirt. And he was laughing. He was running, coming from behind. I still remember because he was just 3 seats away from me. He started doing the button as if the button was too hard. He started doing it. Everybody was saying, sit down. Teacher was coming. Well, I was just doing what? He lost the use of his mind. Suddenly, in the morning, I carry him. It's like 9 a.m. and 10 o'clock in the morning. He just became mad while we were in the class. Everybody panicked because they were all kids, of course.
Everybody started shouting, and then the teacher came. They went to get the prince, the headmaster came in. Last that I saw him, I was like, I don't know, like 9 years afterwards, that was when he started recovering from that mental problem. Because 9 years of his life was gone. What kind of spiritual journey are you running? If we compare, I've been on my mind, I'm not going to ever compare myself with anybody. Because if you do that, if I do that, I won't make it. I will keep looking at somebody and somebody and somebody. This journey is a journey other people can help us only if we allow them. Other people can encourage us only if we allow them. Jesus did that. You know, when Jesus was praying and begging Peter, James, and John, please come and pray, they were tired themselves. The Bible says, for their eyes were weary. They wanted to sleep. If you rely on pastor, bishop, reverend, this, that, and that, to come and be there and pray with you when you seriously need those things, you'd be so surprised that the pastor will be weary. Bishop will be tired. Reverend will want to sleep. All the brothers and sisters will want to just take a nap that time. But you know that time, you can't sleep. Because if you sleep, tomorrow, it's going to be a cross. Tomorrow, you will be there for 6 hours, almost naked, with nails on the leg and on the hand. And you're the only one that will be suffering, and you'll be thirsty. And someone will be piercing the side with all kinds of arrows, with crown of thorn on the head. You won't blame and say, oh, Peter, James, and John, it was because of your fault that you didn't pray for me or with me. Jesus never said that. For me, I think we should just make up our minds and say, Lord, I won't give up. I won't go back. And if things go wrong, I will still trust you. I will hold on to the journey. I pursue this journey because I believe the end will speak for it. Apostle Paul said, I press on. Pressing means you have to push from every bit that is left every time. Towards the mark. There is a mark he's looking at. Like I said, if we don't push and press, over time we'll be discouraged with evening weekly services. How many times are we going to do this weekly? Let's crop it. Let's do this. But that means we have no vision. That means we have no understanding of the end of it. That means we don't believe in the end of it. People will say, what if nobody comes for the service? What if you're the only one? What if it's three people? What if the people that are coming are tired and they're confused and they say, oh, this is not working? It is a fearful thing to think about the what ifs. Yes. But the other thing for us to think and say, this God that we trust and serve will make sure that this place will be filled so that people will be blessed during the week as well. For our family, for our life, for our career, for everything, we need to take this journey. Will somebody help us? I don't know. Who was helping Daniel in the prison? I don't know. I don't know who was helping Paul when he was being jailed and being beaten and being thrown up and down and then in the jail. I don't know who helped them. But I pray that God will help us. Pray that God will help us. I can miss anything, but I don't want to miss heaven. Of course, I don't want to miss anything. But you know what? Even if I do, I don't want to miss him because really, I have a very clear picture in my head what I think, but my thinking is still very shadowy. It's not as crystal clear as what it is. You know, I know that heaven is going to be great. From the description I have, it says there they don't cry. There will be no tears. There is no day or night because the Lord is the glory and the light of the city. It says there I will have my own mansion, my own place. And then when I get there, it says all that I will be able to do is to just thank God and discover God more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And there is no stress, there is no, oh, this and that. It is a place of rest.
So will I give up on the journey because I think it's too long?
Will I say, oh, this thing is not working?
I won't give up. Giving up is very easy. Sometimes we will convince ourselves we've tried enough and say, oh, I can't. This spiritual journey, I'm tired of it. We will be tired sometimes. Anyone that says you will not be tired is lying. In fact, someday, I pray it will never happen, but I know someday most of us will backslide. And that is not a Christian talk, right? No one should ever say that in church. God forbid.
God forbid, but we need to understand something.
Jesus told Peter, the day that you understand the purpose of God in your life and you are converted, go and strengthen your brothers. Many of us, we are falling, we've gone back up. Are we helping other people too? We don't. We just think it's a solo run as well. Help some other people along the way. I think it's going to help us. I've seen a lot of people go through a lot of difficult times. A lot of people. But you know, the only reason why they go through a lot painfully is just because we don't even care. We don't even want to think about it. Because we think our own problem is big enough. Of course, yes, it is big enough. Lastly, some people will not make it. And that is the most saddening thing to ever think of. Can you imagine someone has been running and running, someone that has been trying and trying, someone that has been giving and giving, someone that has seen obstacles, someone that has gone through all kinds of weather, someone that has gone through different situations, someone that has given, someone that has volunteered, someone that has spoken. In fact, the saddest would be many people that will have been on the altar, on the pulpit, people's, you know, missions and choirs and workers and everything they've given of all their life. And in the end, when it gets to very close to the end, they will have a very good reason to say, you know, I can't make it. I can't make it. It's too hard. And everybody will sing for them and say, no, don't worry. Don't give up. You're almost there. They will say, I can't see it anymore. My eyes cannot see anything. So I don't believe it. And they will let go. And then, it's too late. I pray we will not go back. Just want us to think about that tonight. This journey, I have made up my mind. I will make it home. I won't rest until I get home. If anything that I do will make me or prevent me from going there. If church going will prevent me, I would probably prefer not to go to church. If that church is this thing that would distract me. If food is what would distract me. If people would be the one that would distract me. If situation would. I'd rather say, you know what, God, like, give me an idea of how to move on so that I won't go through all this, so that I can get there. It is very important that we have our conditions right. Abraham said, under no condition will you ever take my son there. Even, I understand this one you're saying, what if the lady doesn't want to come? Even in, under that condition, don't worry about it. I trust God will help. But don't ever take my son there. We have to get to the point where we make up our mind. This journey, under no condition, I will give up on specific principles of God. There are certain things God is expecting us for the journey. I will not give up on this principle. I will not give us on this principle. I will not give up on this principle. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Questions? I want us to pray. Yes, sir.
My question would be, the same Abraham. Okay, the same Abraham have covenant with God. And I believe it's a part of the journey we are studying today. Say, okay, I'll take you to this land and blah, blah, blah. We know it's a popular story.
Yes.
Okay. But the only thing I'm seeing about the difficulty of the condition is God always cannot give you all the detail. He can give a glimmer of it, but not all of it. Because, like the example you use right now, the servant know he's going to this city, he's looking for these things, and that way he's going to find it, or bon, at least he have close picture of his journey. So that's how he can pray and see, okay, this place, I might not be able to discover what it is, but God, that's what I want. Okay, if I go back to Abraham, his own life, God said, okay, you are going to be father of many nations. Okay, during the period of the covenant or of that promises, to where Isaac was born, there's a kind of a huge years, so many years. So Abraham, I believe, he did not think God, when he spoke, is going to take that long. So that's why he had to make his own arrangement and all kind of things. Mm-hmm. So my question will be, why God, who was sovereign, you know, when he said you are dead today, you cannot even agree. When he said this one going to happen today, you cannot fight it. Okay, so why he cannot just speak and say, okay, your journey is going to be late? Because why I'm seeing right now, you know, you might be fighting a wrong battle who is not even close to your journey. You might be thinking like, okay, I'm going to be the richest one. But probably your journey is not in line with the rich people. Okay, maybe you might be rich, but you think like you underestimate yourself and say, no, I don't think we're going to make it there. So you are cruising with the wrong people. So the whole thing is come like a chaos for me. So if I'm God, and I know I have a power to say nobody can even take me to a court, what can I tell? Okay, your life is going to be this. Your life is going to be this. Then you know which time or which journey you are just cruising. So I just can just figure out.
Here is my short answer. God is a very clear person. As far as scripture is concerned, when we say person now, we're looking at the nature of God that we know. For example, God said, if you believe, you will get to heaven. There is no clearer picture of the end. You see, human beings like details too much. We like what God is saying is, if you can focus on the end, you get there. Usually, human beings cannot hold things for a long time. They get distracted. We get distracted a lot. The distraction is what is killing us most of the time. So for me, I think God is a very clear person. If God does not say something very clearly, he does not hold you by it. He won't, at least by standard. He won't punish or say something because if he has not ever said anything about it, how do we know? So in most of the things God has said clearly, for instance, what is the purpose for God to create man? Which is clear. Show for the glory of God, show for his purpose, and leave, populate the earth, do all the stuff you want to do. So now, human beings are the ones that want to confuse it. If I don't know how to give glory to God, or I want to let my life give glory to God, I will try to begin to say God didn't tell me how to live my life. No, God didn't say, I will tell you specifically how you live your life. Do all that. He said, let your show forth my glory and populate the earth. So it's clear. It's just that sometimes we want God to say every bit of everything. I don't think there's any confusion with God. For me, what is God expecting me to do? Very clear. Come home. Before you come home, tell other people about me. Finish. The way I'm going to do it, the details, that's my responsibility. I want to see him when I get home. It's a very clear thing. Any other thing that I do, whether I join this church, join that church, join this ministry, that's my own thinking. I must be clear if I'm joining this, I'm joining that. That is one thing that I love personally about Paul. Paul is not a confused man. He's not at all. He is so focused about certain things that you think is crazy and stupid or weird, but then he is so clear-minded about what is going. He said, I can be taken captive for this thing, but that's the only reason I have been spared. He's so clear about it.
We are the ones that are, we can blame God for not telling us, but usually we are the ones not paying attention. Someone can go buy medication and overdose and blame the manufacturer. And say, oh, these people, they just want to kill everybody. Why can't they just tell us exactly how we're going to, oh, they put the dosage there. They say age 2, age 3. There's no clearer instruction, but you know, we want God to tell us, oh, this and that. I personally feel that Christians, like I said, in this journey, no excuses. We can't blame somebody. In fact, we can't even blame God. If we say, oh, God has not told me how I'm going to live my life. No, he has said how we should. Jesus came to explain even more using some examples. Even those examples, how many examples can he give? Did Jesus talk about all the things like how to use internet? There was no internet in his time, so he cannot even talk about it. But those things are things we do as long as we understand the goal. I think it's clear. I think it's just human beings, we are very creative. At the same time, we are easily distracted. Easily distracted. That is my position. So, and we are very creative. We will come up with something to hook God. So, if God didn't want me to backslide. Okay, for example, and I don't want to. If God didn't want them in the Garden of Eden to eat the fruit, why did God put it in there? It looks like it's someone that is seriously avoiding problem will not put the Garden of Eden there, right? But no, God gave instructions. Of all the trees in the garden, you can eat, but not the one that is in some place. People will come up with a reason and say, oh, why would they look beautiful? It is somebody that will go and look at it and still go and disobey. Should God not create what he wants because he's sovereign? He's sovereign. He will create whatever he wants, but he will put instructions. The same thing that Abraham did. Oh, go there with clear instructions. Don't get my kid to go there. Get someone that is adequate from my family to come here. If all those things will not happen, then I'll let you go from this. In other words, same thing for God. If you hear this gospel and you give your life and say, this I believe, you will make it to heaven. If you've never heard it, then the rest, God will let that thing pass. For me, I don't think God is not confused. He's very clear about most things. For us, we choose to do things the way we want to do it. We just choose. And you know, our decisions, we must be ready to be responsible for our decisions. Don't ever, ever say, oh, it is because of. Because if we learn that, we are not responsible. We have to be responsible. And I thank God for Jesus. Jesus never said, if you don't believe God now, something is going to happen. He never said that to anybody. Never. He would say, I will encourage you to just accept this plan, for this is the new way. Repent. And no, he never beat anybody up and say, if you don't, I will. No, nothing like that. So that's my position. We always want to find some, oh God, you didn't. We have to learn. If we don't understand, let's ask him. This servant did something very unique. He said, how many times have we really asked God very specific questions? That's why I said in the thing. We have to get to a point of praying specific prayers. We like all these two general prayers, all these, oh God, bless me this way. God, bless me this year so that I will get rid of every debt that is stressing me.